Welcome back to Weird Leftovers, the side podcast of High Weirdness, where we bring you a tiny bit of the weird just to make your day that much more interesting. I'm, of course, your host, Ben Colton, and it is April 2nd, 2019, and last night, Jordan Peele brought us the first two episodes of the revival of The Twilight Zone, and I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, they were pretty fantastic. I told you guys I would be reviewing The Twilight Zone every week. I didn't know we were getting two, so this episode will be a little bigger than the rest of the reviews for the season. Let us start with Season 1, Episode 1, simply entitled The Comedian.
Samir Wasan is an artist of great principle. A man who refuses to compromise his beliefs for a cheap joke. But tonight, he felt the rush of the limelight for the first time. Now, he'll have to decide what really matters to him when the laughter stops, and how much he's willing to give to the Twilight Zone.
The plot of the first episode follows a struggling comedian in either L.A. or New York, it doesn't really matter, we're in the Twilight Zone, whose name is Samir, played brilliantly by Kumail Nanji in a solid dramatic turn, proving once again from his work on The Big Sick that this guy is meant to be a legitimate star. He is a comedian who simply wants to make an impact without compromising the ideals of a cheap joke. It is only when he meets legendary comedian J.C. Wheeler, who has dropped out of sight, which I feel is a subtle nod to Chappelle. J.C. Wheeler, played brilliantly by Tracy Morgan, tells him the way to achieve true greatness in comedy is you have to put yourself out there. You have to put your life out there and all of the experiences that come with it. I think one of the most brilliant parts of this episode is that they casted comedians as comedians. I think I wrote last night when I was watching this a little baked, I wrote, casting comedians as comedians, now that's representation. I really wish Tracy Morgan had been in more of this, but as you watch the episode and it progresses, it works the fact that he's only there in the parts that he is. His character tells Kumail Nanji's character, you need to sacrifice. So the next time Kumail goes up on stage, he heeds these words and he gives this impassioned joke and slash monologue about his dog and how his dog is his favorite thing. The audience loves it. It's an uproarious turn and they absolutely start praising him. He goes home to tell his girlfriend and he asks his girlfriend where the dog is when he comes in. And she says, we don't have a dog. And now we get the twist of the episode, which is no matter what he talks about, it will be erased from existence. So he doesn't quite realize this at first, and he goes back to the club the next night with his girlfriend's nephew. He goes up on stage and begins to speak of him. He then realizes post this that no matter who he speaks of, they will disappear and the rest of the world is unaware. This causes Samir to become not only able to advance his comedy career, but also be able to teach lessons and act as almost judge, jury, and executioner. The next person he decides to blink out of existence is a comedian there who's very successful, who killed people in a drunk driving thing. And by getting rid of him, he makes it so the drunk driver never killed those people and they're fine. He then becomes more and more successful. And as we see the success go to his head. And we also see him acting as not only a comedian, but kind of judge, jury, and executioner to the people he thinks have wronged him in the past. So as it goes along, he eventually, in a moment of spite, takes out his wife's mentor, who has taught her all through law school, and we see where the consequences of this power comes from. By doing this, his wife never goes to law school. They never take a trip that ends up saving their marriage or their relationship, and he ultimately loses her. As we watch this, he becomes more and more vengeful. At the same time, we also see his career start to grow. And this also comes at the expense of competing with another comedian known as Didi, played absolutely geniusly by Deara Kilpatrick, who, in my opinion, is the standout of this episode and deserves the up-and-coming award.
It's you and me, huh?
Not now.
Oh, yeah, now. It's one spot. One spot. On the Gower Hour. Boom, boom, boom. That shit should have gone straight to me. I have been the MVP up in here for a minute. But somehow, suddenly, you get funny. How does that happen, huh? How the hell you pull that off?
Didi, we really don't have to do this
what?
Right now. I'm not gonna go on stage tonight.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't want it. You can
no,
have it.
No,
I don't
that
want
is
it.
Some...
I, no,
no,
I'm not...
Fuck you. No. No. I am not about to let you do that shit.
Why not?
Because you're good. You've been fucking killing it. And I'm honestly kind of embarrassed that I didn't see how funny you were from the start, but you can't stop now. So I came in here to tell you that if Candy Gower chooses you, well, then I would be happy. Because it would be a good choice.
Didi to the stage. Didi to the stage.
So no more of this bullshit about, oh, I'm not gonna go up, and oh my goodness, I have a vagina, and it's hurting, and I'm on my period, and I can't find tampons, or whatever the fuck you're talking about. Okay? I'll see you on stage. And may the baddest bitch win, which is me, by the way.
Didi, you're on deck.
I swear to God, if I were straight, I would probably be with an Idris Elba type dude. But I would throw you some pussy every now and again out of respect for your comedy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kill it tonight, boo. Let's get it.
I mean, come on, how can you argue with that performance in that 2-minute clip? She is going toe to toe with Kumail Nanji, and she's absolutely killing it. I think that's going to be one of the best things about this show, is that it attracts young talented people, and Jordan Peele is an eye for young talent as well. I've never seen her in anything else, and she absolutely crushed it. I expect we're going to see her pop up in several things based on this. This was a good first appearance by her. That's why she takes the award of Best Up-and-Comer. This is a very strong first episode. I was very pleased with this. This felt like a Twilight Zone episode, and it felt like a Twilight Zone episode even though it was an hour. And honestly, I kind of like the hour format. I think they have that ability now. I think stories are able to be told in long form now, especially this anthology type of story. What I really, really enjoyed is the fact that it also kind of looked like a Twilight Zone episode. No, it wasn't in black and white, but the shooting of it reminds me of the Twilight Zone. It gives you that same feel. Even if it's kind of in a modern setting, it's got the modern feel of a Twilight Zone. The shadowing, the way things are lit, the way people like stand in a room or the way light hits them in a room. Even though it's not black and white, it still feels like that. So that brings me, I guess, to my rating of this episode. And I thought about this long and hard, and I didn't want to overrate it in case something like came up way later in the season that I liked a lot better and then I had to retract it. But honestly, I think this is going to get a 4.5 out of 5. I do my scale on the rating of quarter star to 5, and this gets a 4.5. This was very strong. It had great elements to it. Everything about it worked on every level, and I highly recommend everyone should check this out. It's wonderfully, wonderfully done.
Settling in for a 13-hour transatlantic flight to a land rife with ancient mysteries is Justin Sanderson. Mr. Sanderson's occupation is to uncover unbiased truth. But with an hour left before certain doom, he must ask the right questions of the right people. Landing at the truth this time will require an unscheduled stopover Twilight Zone.
So as I finished up the first episode, I saw a second one pop up, and I was pleasantly surprised. I thought they would only be giving us one to start, but clearly CBS wants to really push this idea of having this new streaming app, so they gave us two. The second episode is season one, episode two, Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which is a classic episode of The Twilight Zone being readapted. And the episode starred William Shatner. It was one of their biggest ones of all time. It came in the last season of season five. And it's about a man who has a fear of flying, and inadvertently, in a classic Twilight Zone, gets stuck on a plane and something bad is happening. The same thing happens here, and I do like what they did with this episode, but I didn't find it nearly as strong as the first one, The Comedian. And I think what I didn't like was there's kind of a twist that we all were expecting, but they kind of went a different route with it, which I do respect. I think that's a good idea. But at the same time, I still kind of wanted to see the gremlin on the side of the plane. I know it's silly. I know it's something that probably worked back then and wouldn't have worked now. But at the same time, why not do it? If you're going to remake the episode, do what the episode is and go with that. Now, there are good things about this episode. I will not hate on it, and I will not fully say I did not enjoy it. The mixing of modern situations into a classic episode is an interesting idea. For example, he is a phobic flyer, and he is a very nervous man, like Shatner's performance, he being Adam Scott, who plays the main character, who does very good job. And Adam Scott, who usually plays a dick or someone who's too smart for his own good or someone who's the likable loser. But in this, he's a genuinely good leading man and he's wonderful in it. But the problem is, like, with the Shatner one, you never really found out what it was that made him nervous. With this, you find out he's a journalist who saw some stuff overseas, and it's really deeply affected him. It's kind of given him post-traumatic stress.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I believe you. I believe the shit you're saying.
You do? Why?
Because I'm a pilot. I live in the sky. And right now we're up 30,000 feet where no human was ever meant to be. But we don't think about that anymore, do we?
No.
Just the fact that we're in this plane means anything's possible.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for believing me.
If Justin, magic exists where we're not supposed to be.
Yes. I know I'm right. I can feel it. Wait a second. Joe.
Yeah.
You're a pilot.
Yeah.
And you've flown a plane like this before.
Northern Gold Star 765.
You can land this plane safely. You can turn us around and land us in Canada safely before we vanish.
I can't get in there. Before takeoff, every flight crew has issued an override code to that keypad to get in the flight deck. I don't know that code.
I know it. It's 10:15.
Did your podcast tell you that too?
Yes. That's the answer.
When I get in there, I'm going to drop the cabin pressure and raise the temperature. I'm going to put everyone to sleep. We don't want a panic situation on our hands.
Well, won't the oxygen mask drop down?
Yeah, sure, but I can handle that from in there. It's perfect. They'll be putting their masks on. They won't realize there's no oxygen flowing. They'll be fast asleep.
Scott is nicely propped up by a great supporting cast, including Chris Deontopoulos, I think is how I'd say it, who I honestly at one point thought was going to turn out to be the gremlin in the whole thing. I know it's a silly thing. I was pretty baked when I watched this last night, and I thought to myself, he's got to be the gremlin, right? There has to be a gremlin. And there never turned out to be a gremlin for the most part. There kind of is. The other thing they did is they mixed modern technology into this very well. The whole plot of the episode is he gets on this plane and he's sitting there and he looks in his seat for a magazine and he finds like an old MP3 player, one that doesn't even have access to wireless earbuds, which, by the way, they clearly show him wearing Apple AirPods, like, oh, look who's back in this show. Apple is, give us money. But he takes them off and he finds headphones and he puts them in. And the thing he's listening to is an account on a podcast of a flight disappearing, the very same flight he's on. So I do like how the terror at 30,000 feet has kind of been altered. Though it's not the gremlin concept, it is this idea that the inevitable is going to happen. The character that Chris Deontopoulos, I'm just going to call him Chris D, because I do not know how to say his last name. Chris D plays is an ex-pilot named Joe, who recognizes Adam Scott's character, Justin, as a writer, and the two of them kind of form this friendship. The paranoia in this is really well done, because the whole time you're knowing that this plane is going to disappear, it's going to vanish, and we don't know how. But what I love about it is just the buildup to what is going to cause this. So I don't have much more to say on this one. I would recommend checking it out. I think it's a okay episode, but it's not as good as the first one. Definitely check out the original one and do a compare and contrast. It'll be good. I'll give them credit. They shortened this one as well. They knew that they did not have an hour to put into this one, so they made this one 35 minutes. And I like that this show isn't going to go by the idea of if it has to be an hour or a half hour show. It looks like they're going to be pretty loose with their time, and I think they're going to give episodes the time that they need, and they're going to give other episodes shorter time than they need. My hopefulness is that we get every week one new episode and potentially a remake of an old episode. I think that would be one of the better ways to do it. Plus, you get two a week, and that's great. The camera work, by the way, in this one is also very, very slick. There's some wonderful camera work. There's some wonderful tension building shots that I really enjoyed. And it also closes with one of my favorite new lines from Jordan Peele, which is, "The flight path to hell is paved with good intentions." It's a killer closing line. But to give my star rating on this one, it is a 3.5 out of 5. It's not a bad episode. It's not an amazing episode. It's right in the middle. It's just had a lot to live up to with the original. And sadly, it doesn't quite make it all the way there, but it does have some good stuff to it. I would highly recommend check it out. Guys, thank you so much for checking out the Twilight Zone review with me. I, of course, have been Ben. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter at HighWeirdness23. Make sure you're following Greg on Twitter at Bocephus. Make sure you're following me at Benjamin Colton and at ET Critic. That's ET capitalized with the word critic. I post a movie review almost every 2 days. And if you don't like what I have to say, at least maybe you'll find a movie you've never heard of that you'll enjoy. Make sure you guys are checking out our Instagram at Bocephus_weirdness. Make sure you're going to our Facebook page. We're always putting some weird stuff there. I may be writing something since I'm doing these weird leftovers more. It's usually here, but occasionally I get a wild hair up my ass to write something. Make sure you guys are checking out and reviewing us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all those good places. Make sure you guys are telling people about us. Even if you go up to one person and say, "Hey, you want to hear a really weird podcast with a guy who has a lot of random opinions on the Twilight Zone?" Tell them about it. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. Tell anyone. And guys, thank you again for joining us in the Desert of the Weird. And I cannot wait until next week when I bring you Season 1, Episode 3 of this revival of the Twilight Zone in 2019, entitled Replay.
I need you to know something, and I need your help.
I don't expect you to believe me. I don't know if it's a problem with my mind or some kind of parallel universe, cosmic strains. I just need you to help me end it.
Life sometimes goes like you don't expect it to.
Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.